Subhanahu wa Ta'ala looks at these different types of people that come into the masjid, and he says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامِ, these are just days that we flip. Some days you're going to have good days, and some days you're going to have bad days. These bad days are not here to stay, and these good days are not here to stay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he says, وَالْضُحَى, I take an oath by the time that the sunlight comes out. In your light, in your life, there may be darkness right now. Maybe everything around you, it seems like it's all coming crashing down. But it's okay. وَالْضُحَى, I swear by the time of daybreak, when the sun comes out. But when that sun comes out and the lightness comes into your life, that's not here to stay. Because immediately in the second verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى, darkness is going to come as again. Hardships will come again. And this is a juggling act between these two things. But amongst a mix of both of these hardships and good days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, let me teach you what I want from you. How you can manage the hardships that come your way. Because Islam, which is a way of life for us, is not, nowhere in the Quran does it say that you accept Islam and you practice your religion and all the hardships will go away. That there will no longer be any storms and it's all smooth sailing. But Islam is that there will be storms and there will be hardships. But when these hardships come your way, you will know how to maneuver yourself and balance yourself. How to ride these waves. Because if you look at the life of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, you will see is there were just hardships and hardships and hardships. It's actually a rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this companion comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I love you and I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he looks at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, Ya Rasulullah, I love you and I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, are you sure? Said, yes, I'm sure. He said, then be ready. Because there's anybody who has made this claim, hardships have came their way. So if you find yourself where things are tough, why is it like that? Because of your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what do you think? That you can say, amanna, that I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't test that? Think about it. When you go home to your spouse and you say to your spouse, I love you, she says, prove it. Show it. I said to my son Muhammad, I love you. He says, Abba, then give me some ice cream. Prove your love. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you are saying amanna, prove it. And that proof is the hardships will come your way. And when these hardships come, don't let it break you down. And this is the reality of this dunya. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, if you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam's life was time after time after time, is hardship after hardship after hardship. But the companion says, I never saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Think about it. This was a man that was born without a father. This was a man who became an orphan at the age of 6. This was a man whose people kicked him out of his land, whose people exiled him out of his land. This was a man who lost all of his children except for one. This was a man who buried two of his wife. This was a man whose people injured him in the Battle of Uhud. But yet the companion says, I never saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was smiling. That means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just came back from Taif, where they stoned him and he's covered from top to bottom in blood, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees his companion and he smiles at this companion. This means that they were defeated in Uhud, but when this companion sees the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam isn't grumpy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam isn't mad. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam isn't agitated and annoyed, but he sallallahu alaihi wasallam is smiling. Because he knows simply Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on my side. And the reality of this world is hardships will come. But as long as you stick to the map and the game plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us the deen of Islam, then things will be fine. You know, we're still in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. And it was in this month that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said the most iconic sermon of him. Around the day of Arafah, he gets up and he says, "Today your deen is completed. Look, your way of life, it's now completed. Follow this and you're all set. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum." There's nothing more than coming in. This right here is perfect. If you want to be happy in your life, if you want success in your life, if you want to be a person that helps others, then this is what you need to adapt. And the Prophet ﷺ, he starts off with this khutbah, and he prays Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he shows gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, "O people, verily your life and your wealth is sacred. And it's forbidden upon you until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask from you. Actually, before this, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Listen to me carefully." Why? Because in the following year, I may not be here. He's giving his final advice. Basically teaching us, this is it. 124,000 companions in the Hajjat al-Wida, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Look, this is my final advice, hold on to this." And the first piece of advice the Prophet says, he says, "Hurt no one and no one will hurt you." Understand, people's lives are sacred. The great Muhammad Ali said that when you understand that you are hurting the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it actually means that you're showing disrespect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever you hurt Allah's creation, whenever you hurt the makhluk, the Prophet ﷺ says, "Al-khalqu iyal Allah." The creation of Allah is the family of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whoever is best to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's family, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be good to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love this person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Al-muslimu akhul muslim." Each of you is a brother to one another. You should not oppress another person, or nor should you help somebody oppress somebody else. He says, "Whoever fulfills the need of a Muslim brother, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill your need." If you have a need, let's say for example, if your need is to get married, you help somebody else. If your need is you need help with your children, or you need help with your spouse, or you need help financially, then help somebody else. And the Prophet ﷺ immediately says, whoever takes another Muslim out of a hardship, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you out of hardship. Then the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever hides and screens the shortcomings of somebody else, of a Muslim brother, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hide and screen your shortcomings in this dunya as well as in the hereafter. You know, we live in a society where exposing people is a culture. Putting out people's laundry in front of everybody. People have the right to know, and I will be the person who exposes this person's sins. Whereas the Prophet ﷺ says, let that between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose, will hide your sins. Then Rasulullah ﷺ says, number two. So number one, understand that human life is sacred in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be good to people. Then the Prophet ﷺ in this final khutbah, he says that, honor and respect your woman. He says, oh people, it is true that you have certain rights among your upon your woman. But at the same time, they have rights upon you as well. And you have taken them as your wives only under the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this part, the Prophet basically is telling us, be careful of how you treat the people at home. Be careful of those that are underneath your head, particularly your spouses. As Rasulullah is leaving this world, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his final words were, his final piece of advice was, As-salat wa ma malakat aymanukum. Be careful of these two things. The final advice that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, he said, be mindful of your salah, don't let your salah go. It may seem like a habit, it may seem like a burden, it may seem like something that your parents force upon you, but it's actually very important. It will ground you down to good morals and manners. It will give you the hope that you need when times are tough. And number two, وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. Be mindful of how you treat the people that are underneath you. So here in this khutbah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that be mindful of women's rights, the way you treat your spouse. And the famous hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَلَا كُلُّكُمْ رَائِنْ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْعُولٌ عَنْ رَيَّتِي. Each of you is a shepherd and you'll be questioned about your flock. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I enjoin you to treat your women well and be kind to them. The third piece of advice, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us how to maneuver our way through this life. He says, and give your wealth in zakat. Pay your zakat, pay your charity. And to summarize this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, make sure there is a balance when it comes to the economic status amongst Muslims. It shouldn't be the case where you, mashallah, are rolling into the masjid in a Tesla and there's somebody else that's walking out. And if that is the case, then help somebody. As we live in these nice houses, our Muslim brother that's struggling, we should help them. So we're not saying, again, let me back up. I'm not saying give your Tesla away. Right? But what my point is, we should be a person that helps other people financially. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, number four, do not discriminate. And he brings it together, he says, all mankind is from Adam and Hawa. And Hawa and Adam were from Turab, from dirt. He says, no Arab was better than a non-Arab, and no non-Arab is better than an Arab. He says, no dark skin, no light-skinned person is better than a dark-skinned person, and no dark-skinned person is better than a light-skinned person. Now, usually, us Muslims, we have pride over this phase, this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're very quick to say that our religion eliminates racism. But in reality, Islam at times, well, Muslims, are some of the most racist people. Islam doesn't have racism. Simple. But Muslims, unfortunately, we still have this within us. Now you may say, Sheikh, you're absolutely wrong. That's not true. We're not racist. But as you walk out of the masjid, if you were to count the amount of people's hands that you shake and your skin tone matches their skin tone versus the person's skin tone that's darker or lighter, that number will be completely off. You ask yourselves, in your dawahs that you have at your house, how many people are there from a different background, from a different race? You ask yourself, how many people on the board of any masjid, not just here, but any masjid, are from different backgrounds? How welcoming are we? Alhamdulillah, whenever somebody comes into Islam, we will shower them with hugs that they've never had this many hugs in their life, and takbirs, but then after that, our welcome party's over. And now this person completely feels as an alien within a society of people that claim to be, you know, free of racism. But this problem stemmed from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not something new. And we haven't found the cure of it. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he gives advice to somebody. They're in a gathering, and Bilal radiallahu anhu gives advice. And this person says to Bilal radiallahu anhu that, wait, am I supposed to take the advice of a black lady, the son, the child of an African lady? Well, Bilal radiallahu anhu, he actually went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he complained that this person called me Yabna Sauda. And Rasulullah ﷺ called this person and said to this person, you still have the signs and the traits of Jahiliyyah. And this signs and traits of Jahiliyyah, as much as we like to deny that it's not within us, it's still there. The reason why we don't see it, because I look at it from my perspective and my lens. But you ask somebody else, it's a different shade, or that's from a different continent. How are things? Outside of that, alhamdulillah, everything's fine. Ask them, how welcome do you feel at the masjid? And the answer would be completely scary. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fifth piece of advice, he says, hold on to the teachings of Islam. And he finishes off by saying, taraktu fikum amrayn. I leave two things with you. If you hold on to this, you'll be guided. And these two things are everything that our religion has is found within this. The whole way of life is from these two things. He says, Al-Qur'an wa sunnati. The Qur'an and the sunnah. Now, if the Qur'an is supposed to be a solution to all of my problems, then why am I still struggling? You tell your child that, beta read Qur'an, it's the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a guide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if your child is real, he'll say to you, but it's not helping me, Abba. I'm reading, but it's not fixing my problems. And the sad answer to that is, many of us have no idea what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the Quran. You ask yourself, have you ever read the translation of the Quran? So many non-Muslims will come and say, alhamdulillah, I've read the translation of the Qur'an. They've read the whole Qur'an in English. But as Muslims, you ask yourself, have you read through what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying? Whereas alif, lam, mim, thalika al-kitab, la rayba fi, is beautiful. But what's even more beautiful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, listen, that there is no doubt in this book. Hudan lil-muttaqeen, it's guidance for those that are fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes our whole religion and the life of this world, the reality of this world, and he summarizes it into these five pieces of advice in his final sermon. If you follow this, be mindful of how you treat people. Hold on to women's rights. Have a balance in your economic status. Be fair and just when it comes to racism and discrimination. And the final, hold on to the Quran and the Sunnah. And when a person acts upon these five things, what they will realize is that the reality of this life, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Islam gives us a solution to all of our problems. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه الغفور الرحيم. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu amma ba'd. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that if there's dunya and everything within it, the things that we chase, outside of looking at the reality, the things that we run after, the things that we give our efforts to. He says, if everything in this dunya were to be equivalent to a single wing of a mosquito, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give a non-believer a sip of water. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's passing by with the companions, and there is a dead carcass there. And he asks the companions, do you think that this right here is of any value to his previous owner? And they say, no, it's not. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this is the value that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for this dunya. And when we realize this, what we understand is the things that we chase in this life, the things that we have made our goals, the things that we may have made our focus, they actually hold no value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there has to be a readjustment. And if that readjustment is made, then the story that you came into the masjid with, you're going to leave the masjid without. You came into the masjid struggling, but if you are able to readjust and look at things differently, and look at this world and the reality of this world differently, then what you will see is when you leave those doors, the weight that was on your shoulders, the burden that was on your shoulders, those problems will still be there. But the burden of the problems will be lifted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, ordering us, tells us, إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان أو الله سبحانه وتعالى we ask for infinite mercy. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you have mercy upon our community. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you unite our community. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that if there's anybody in our community that's struggling through any type of hardship, that you remove those hardships from their path. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask for ease in this dunya and ease in the hereafter. O Allah, we ask for good in this dunya and good in the hereafter. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't make this dunya our biggest concern. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us focus on the hereafter. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us people that respect one another. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us people that respect our spouses. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us people who give our sadaqah and our zakat. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us people that are free of discrimination. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us people that hold on to the teachings of the Quran and give us the ability to look into the translation and the meaning of the Quran. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us people that love the sunnah and the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask for ease in this dunya. O Allah, we ask to remove any hardship from our path. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if there's anybody that's ill in our community, we ask that you give them shifa. O Allah, if there's anybody that's passed away, we ask that you forgive their sins. O Allah, we ask for forgiveness for our sins. O Allah, we ask that you overlook our shortcomings, that you pardon our mistakes. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask for Jannah and actions that bring us close to Jannah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we seek protection from the fire of Jahannam and actions that bring us close to the fire of Jahannam. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you be pleased with us. O Allah, be pleased with us. O Allah, be pleased with us. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين أخي بالصلاة
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
صلى الله استقيموا خشع في صلاتكم صلوا صلاة ودع استووا الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين جاءكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم. الله سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. سبحان الله. سبحان الله. سبحان الله. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون. الله سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. There is دعاء المغفرة for brother Muhammad Shahani, father or brother of Fazi Abbasi, who passed away yesterday in New York. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. And there is dua request for sister Aizaz Fatima, who's currently hospitalized in Canada. So for brother Muhammad Shahani, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him maghfirah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him maghfirah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower him with his mercy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make him from the people of Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to feed him from the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give sabr jameel to the family of brother Muhammad Shahani. Allahumma ameen. And for sister Aizaz Fatima, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give her shifa. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give her speed recovery and shifa. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give her shifa. Allahumma shfiha shifa'an la yugadiru saqama. اللهم اشفها شفاء لا يغادر سقما اللهم اشفها شفاء لا يغادر سقما اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين وارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم استجب دعاءنا يا رب العالمين بارك الله فيكم.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Just a couple of quick announcements. Just a reminder that tonight at 7 o'clock is our ICF Town Hall. So please come on down at 7 o'clock. And then after that, at 8:45, we have our Emotionally Intelligent Parenting Workshop with Define 360. Just another reminder that our Eid Carnival date is July 22nd. That's on a Saturday from 5:30 to 10 o'clock. You can buy tickets online at go.friscomasjid.org/Eid Carnival. And lastly, the Eid Carnival is looking for volunteers. If you'd like to sign up to volunteer at the carnival, you can sign up at go.friscomasjid.org/Eid Carnival Volunteer 23. Jazakallah, everybody. Assalamu alaikum.